Judges chapter 20. Well, Judges 19, we have this really weird case where the Levite, who's not a very good man, who keeps getting drunk, has this extra woman, a concubine, not a wife, but an extra woman in his life. He goes to get her back when she runs away from him, and she runs back to her father. And he's traveling with her and his servant and their two donkeys, and they put up in an old man's house in Gibeah. And some bad men come knocking on the door, and the old man offers them his daughter, and the Levite offers them his concubine and says, "I'll do what you want to them, just leave me alone," whilst the Levite makes his heart merry with wine. So he's not a very good guy at all. In the morning he gets up, and the poor woman has stumbled back to the house and has collapsed with her hands on the doorstep. And if he hadn't have been drinking that night, and if he had been concerned about his wife, he would have probably been able to save her life. But anyway, he opens the door and says, "Get up," and she can't. She's dead because of his lack of attention. So he puts her on his donkey, takes her home, gets a knife, cuts her body up into 12 parts, and sends it all over Israel and says, "What should be done?" Well, he obviously doesn't love her. And this is a very weird thing. So let's read what happens. All the people of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, responded, and they gathered together as one man before the Lord in Mizpah. And the leaders of all the tribes of Israel were there present, along with 400,000 soldiers. The people of Benjamin heard that all the other Israelites were gathered at Mizpah. The Israelites asked, "How was this crime committed?" And the Levite, whose concubine had died, replied, "My concubine and I went to Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin, and we spent the night there. But the men of Gibeah came to attack me. They surrounded the house at night. They wanted to kill me, but instead they killed my concubine. So I took her body, cut it in pieces, and sent one piece to each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They have committed an awful, horrible act amongst us. All of us here who are Israelites, what are we going to do about this?" Well, what he says is sort of true and untrue. He doesn't tell them that he was drinking himself and that he didn't bother to help her. He doesn't say anything like that. He implies that they killed her when actually she was able to stumble back to the house, and it was actually his inattention, his lack of attention to her, that meant that she died. All the people, as one man, said, "None of us, whoever he is going to return home. This is what we're going to do. We're going to draw lots and choose some men to go and attack Gibeah. One in every 10 of the men in Israel will provide food for the army, and the others will go and punish Gibeah for the awful act which they have done and the folly they have committed in Israel." So all the Israelites gathered together as one man, aiming to attack and destroy the town. Now you see that the people of Gibeah were not present. They just believed everything the Levite said. And it's always very unwise to just believe one side of a story. Those men of Gibeah rightly thought, "Well, there's absolutely no point in putting our side of the story because they're not going to believe us anyway." They're going to believe what they want to believe, and that's the problem with people. They believe what they want to believe. So the Israelite tribes sent messengers all through the area of Benjamin and said, "You have committed a terrible crime. Now hand over these wicked people from Gibeah so that we can kill them and remove this stain from Israel." But the Benjamites did not pay attention. And so from all the cities of Benjamin, they came to Gibeah to fight against the other people of Israel. So now it's Benjamin fighting against the other tribes. They had 26,000 soldiers from their cities, as well as the men of Gibeah, who were 700. And they included men who were left-handed, who could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss, whereas the Israelite tribes numbered 400,000 soldiers. So there's far fewer men of Benjamin than there are the men of Israel. The Israelites went up to the house of God at Bethel, and they asked God, "Which tribe should attack the Benjamites first?" The Lord replied, "The tribe of Judah." Well, they don't go to God and say, "Should we attack our brother?" They just go and say, who of us should lead the attack? They assume. They assume that it's God's will that you go and kill all your brothers. So the Israelites started out the next morning, and they camped near the city of Gibeah, and they went out to fight the army of Benjamin. The army of Benjamin came out of the city, and during the course of the day, they killed 22,000 Israelite soldiers. The Israelites returned to the sanctuary, to the tabernacle, and they mourned before Yahweh until the evening. They asked him, should we go and fight again against our brothers, the Benjamites? Well, really, the answer was, well, should we go and fight our brothers? Well, of course you shouldn't fight your brothers. But God said to them, yes, go. So the Israelites were encouraged, and they put their soldiers just as they had done the previous day. And they marched against the Benjamites a second time. And again the Benjamites came out of Gibeah and killed 18,000 Israelite soldiers. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and mourned. They sat there before Yahweh and didn't eat until evening. They offered peace offerings and sacrifices before Yahweh. And the Ark of God was there at Bethel at that time. And Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, was looking after it. So the people asked Yahweh, should we go out to fight our brothers the Benjamites again, or should we give up? Yahweh replied, fight, and tomorrow I will give you victory over them. They've lost 22,000 soldiers, then 18,000 soldiers, that's 40,000 soldiers. Should we go and fight again against our brothers? Sure, God says, and I'll give you victory. So the Israelites put some soldiers in hiding around Gibeah. Then for the third day, they marched against the Benjamites and put their soldiers where they had done before, facing Gibeah. The Benjamites came out to fight them and were led away from the city. As before, they began killing some Israelites on the road to Bethel and on the road to Gibeah. They killed about 30 Israelites. The Benjamites said, we're winning just as we did before. But the Israelites had planned to retreat and lead them away from the city onto the roads. So when the large army of the Israelites regrouped, the men surrounding Gibeah suddenly rushed out of their hiding places in the rocky land around the city. 10,000 men then attacked Gibeah. The Benjamites didn't realize that they were now going to be trapped and destroyed. And God gave Israel victory over the Benjamites, and the Israelites killed 25,000 of the enemy that day. And so the Benjamites were defeated. Well, why did God allow all this to happen? So that tens of thousands of soldiers died? Well, I think that he allowed it to happen because he was using this to judge Israel, to judge the lot of them. And he usually allows people to judge themselves. Rather than him killing tens of thousands of people, he normally leaves people to kill themselves. Of course it was wrong what they did. They were all wrong. Both sides were wrong. There's nobody right in these kinds of wars. And God left them like this and even encouraged them to do this, so that instead of him having to judge them, they judge themselves. So, many thousands of the Benjamite soldiers were killed, and the others turned and ran towards the area around the Rock of Rimmon. 5,000 more were killed along the road, and the Israelites continued chasing the rest, killing another 2,000 of them on the way to Gidom. But 600 Benjamite men were able to escape into the Rock Rimmon, and they stayed there for 4 months. So the Israelites turned back from chasing the Benjamites, and they burnt every town in the area. And the next chapter, we're going to read how it gets even more weird. But all we can say is that two wrongs don't make a right. The Levite was wrong. Israel were unwise in the way they responded. It is never right to fight against your own brothers. And yet, because that's what they wanted to do, God encouraged them in that way. So you see, God will encourage you in the way in which you want to go. It's like God hardened Pharaoh's heart because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He himself hardened his heart. And God will also encourage you positively through the Holy Spirit. If you want to be spiritual, he'll help you to be spiritual. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So if we really want to serve God and we really want to come close to God, he'll come close to us.